So Rav Kook says like this, and this is a quote from Shimon HaKevatzim, and it says, "Im itgaber hayetzer bedarkei tohu chadashim, eda ki ba lislol derech la'alot kol hayamim le'or chayim elyonim." It says, if the Yetzer Hara is finding new ways that are out of the ordinary, extraordinary ways to test me, right? So, okay, I know I can think of the amount of tests that I'm going to have today, right? It's probably going to be anywhere from wanting to buy something that I probably don't need, to eating more than I probably should, to saying stuff about people that I probably shouldn't, to staying in bed longer versus watching something that is probably not going to benefit me. I know that day to day. All of a sudden, the HR is like coming out of like, you know, coming swinging, you know, from left field. Yeah, totally like unexpected. And all of a sudden, like, you know, in realms that like, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, you know, like I know my struggles. They're usually the same. What's happening? Why all of a sudden it's hard, you know, trying to test me in a way that I'm totally A, unequipped probably, because I've never been tested there before. B, has nothing to do with my personal struggles. Says Rav Kook, Eda, then I will know. I know that he's paving a new road for me to elevate all my days to the highest heights. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Yeah, what does it mean? And before we understand what that means, but we were talking about before in the past two pieces that the Yetzer Hara, his job is really to pave new roads. And the analogy first Rav Kook gave about going down or to come up, he says that when you're trying to get to a source of a spring, then when you hit the water, when you get to the, and you're digging low enough and you get water, first the water that's going to come out of the spring is going to be dirty water. Why? Because the water that's coming out through the new canal that was just dug is cleaning that canal out. So all the dirt and all the gook that was in that, you know,
channel
that you were just digging is going to be pushed out with the water. So the first water that comes out is always going to be dirty. So when I'm trying to work on a new midah, I'm trying to work on a new thing, I'm going to a new environment, first what's going to happen is only going to be dirty, 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 dirty. And if I give up on that water source and I say, you know what, it's only dirty water, then that's the joke's on me, because I put in all the hard work and then I gave up and somebody else is going to come and reap the benefits of clean water. And the same way we gave the analogy last class about when you want to build a building, the taller the building you want to build, the lower in the ground you first need to dig, right? So you can say like, oh, they're building a new building and you know, they're working for months and maybe even a year and they haven't built anything. All they're doing is digging down. And you're like, this is so stupid. No, but if you understand that in order to build high up, you need to have a strong foundation. And that foundation is going the opposite, right, of what you wanted to do. And so a lot of times in life, when we're trying to build some new foundation, the Yetzer Hara is actually going to be testing us and pushing us out of our comfort zone, specifically in that place, right? So if we're having somebody who wants to, you know, be a chassid and totally trust with God, then the canal he's going to have to, the channel he's going to have to go through is going to be, you know, a finance major, right? In order to really, really understand, you know, the you know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of scenario. And like, oh my God, I'm trying to come close to God. What is this, you know, PhD in Tivus moment specifically because of that, right? Because that's the path you're trying to take. You're trying to take a path of Emunah, and therefore you're going to have to struggle in that complete facet, right? So that person who wants to, you know, really grow, he's going to have struggles specifically in that place. But Rav Kook is saying that the Yetzer Hara, sometimes his job is to pave a new road, right? Maybe the road that I paved can elevate some things, but there are certain things that it can't, right? So I don't know if you've seen, but there's like these some roads in China that are like wide, like there's, it's one lane and it's like the width of like eight lanes of a highway, because like you have these trucks that are like wider than like a building. And they're driving on that road. It's a road for like industrial trucks who are literally moving like
houses,
like built houses. Like this is like, it's crazy. It's like, right? And sometimes in order to really be able to elevate things, you're going to need a new pathway that you've never had before. And Rav Kook says the Yetzer Hara, his job is to help us create new vessels and build new pathways. And that's why sometimes our struggles are going to be totally different than what we were accustomed to. And a person who doesn't understand the mechanism and the way the Yetzer Hara works, doesn't understand why we have a Yetzer Hara, which is something we spoke a lot about in the previous years, learning Rav Kook together in his philosophy and understanding of Judaism, will be startled and also will be thrown up. Like, oh my God, I'm trying so hard. Why is everything against me? And like, no, in the contrary, that is promoting your growth. You just have to understand how life works in order to really be able to get it. So Rav Kook is telling us that when a person, when the Yetzer Hara comes and he's overpowering you with things that you really are helpless with, right? I mean, if it wasn't recorded, I would give some examples, but you'll just bear with me and I'll try to give examples that can still
hold
their, I know, but then everybody else is going to be, who's listening, is going to be like, oh my God, this is unfair, like, you know, like, just not fair, right? And it's going to create more of a turmoil than it would. But the idea is that a lot of times, you know, you're being thrown into a ring where you're fighting somebody who's like not your weight class. Like, this is just like unfair. And the idea is that it's paving a new road. So what does it say? It says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Right? Rav Kook is quoting a pasuk, two psukim. It says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. V'kehi dabra elav yom yom v'lo shamayla. It's quoting a pasuk from Bereishis, from what? From Yosef, when Eshet Potiphar tried to seduce him. And it says that what? Tried to seduce him every day, yom yom. You can imagine Yosef being at Eshet Potiphar's house. And she's literally like every single day tormenting him. Some people feel this in college. Like the Nisyonas are like every single day. It's like there's not a day to rest. There's not a day to like gather your thoughts. It's not like, okay, the high holidays are going to come and all of a sudden like I'm going to have a breather. No. It's like day, every single day, right? And we all struggle with some of our taivas that we struggle with are daily. Some of them, you know, okay, fine. You know, when do I struggle with, I don't know, Taiva Sachilo, and not so much in the Maryland Hill kitchen, because you know it's not like I'm going to go for third and fourth and fifth and sixth. But if I go to an all you can eat or I'm at Smorgasbord at a wedding, all of a sudden, you know, I just ate, you know, the equivalent of like eight meals, right? There's certain things that we struggle with, you know, on a weekly basis, and there's certain things we struggle with on a daily basis. And there's certain things that really the Yetzer Hara is tormenting us all the time. Rav Kook is taking two psukim that are totally polar opposites. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, the ability to bless God daily, and Eshet Potiphar tormenting Yosef daily. And what is he doing? He's creating a direct correlation between them. What's the ability to bless God daily?
When you can challenge your daily.
Right, it's only when you're challenged daily. Right, it's only when you're challenged daily. And you all know my famous story about the Hasidim who were talking about how they miss their taiva is Mr. Yitzharit, right?
Yep.
Or, you know, the story I told about, the kid who davened a 45-minute, you know, shachar is here on a random Tuesday, and I said to him, brother, you inspired me. And he said, no, it's just because of what I did last night. And I said, I don't know what you did last night, but you should do it again if that's, you know, the shachar that you have the next morning, right? So there's an idea that, you know, only when you're tormented daily do you turn to God daily, right? And there's a famous bashal that Chazal give that, the king, instead of giving allowance to his son monthly or yearly, gave allowance to his son daily. And the kid said, I don't get it. Well, it's just the same amount. Why don't you just give it to him monthly? Because then he'll only see you monthly, right? But if you have to come and ask for allowance every single day, then we're going to have a conversation every single day. If you have taivas, if you have yitzarim, if you are being tried and tormented and really tested daily, you have no choice but to turn to God daily. Right, so Rav Kook is telling us something very profound. He says the Yetzer Hara's job is really to turn you towards God. There's a quote by Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson Breslover said something phenomenal. He said, it's okay to run away from your problems as long as the direction is God. Right? If you're running away from your problems but the direction is everywhere else but God, then you're doing something wrong. But if you have tzaros, if you have problems and the only where you're running to is God, you know, that's phenomenal. And Rav Nosson told this concept. He told a story about a cousin of his. He saw a cousin of his traveling from a city. He was a very rich guy. He was a very rich guy. And he lost all his money. And he was running away because he had so much debt. He had a bank, and the bank went under. And he had so much debt, he ran away. And he's in Rav Nosson's time. He said, oh, dear uncle, it's good to see you. How are you doing? He goes, don't ask, I'm running away. He goes, you're running away? Where are you running to? Where are you running to? And he said, I don't know, anywhere. And Rav Nosson said, it's okay to run away from your problem as long as you're running to God. And they really spoke to him, and he, instead of running away, he really stopped at the shul, and he was davening, and it occurred to him that he should go back. And when he got back, he got a letter from a different bank that he had loaned money to years before and totally forgot about it, that they're so sorry they never gave back the loan, but they're giving it back, and here's all the extra money that he would have made throughout the years. And that was more than enough for him to put his bank together and pay off all the debt. And, you know, if he would have kept running, he would have never got that letter. His life would have never, you know, been the same. But there's an idea that the Yetzer Hara's job is to push us out of a comfort zone. But our job is, when we are pushed out of that comfort zone, to turn to God. There's a famous analogy that always held me strong in the beginning of my journey, and it was an analogy from Rav Eliyahu Gudlevsky, and he is a strong Breslover Chassid. He's a very, very gewalt guy.
Alive today?
Alive, alive, yeah.
Where
do
you live?
I think he lives in either in Yerushalayim or Bnei Brak. I once was asked to speak at a yahrzeit of Rav Nachman, and he was speaking right after me, and I said, well, that stinks, because I was actually going to quote him, so now I have to think of something else to speak.
Why can't you quote him?
It was just funny, because he can say it better than me. You know, I'm standing here quoting the guy who's can just tell this. But it's funny. It wasn't bad. But so he said, he gave this beautiful analogy that of a guy who's working at a bank. He's a teller at a bank. He sits there and receives checks and cashes them. And every day, people bring checks and he cashes them into the bank. And one day, somebody walks in with a check that he never saw before. It's not rectangle. It's like some, you know, a pentagon-shaped check. It has all the right markings. It has, like, it's a legit check, but he has no clue how to cash it because it all the data is in different places, so he doesn't know what to do. So if Gudlevsky said, what would you think? This guy just, you know, takes his sweater, takes his briefcase, and goes home, says, I don't know what to do, I'm just going to go home. Of course not. That's a stupid thing to do. He goes to his boss, the head of the bank, and he says to him, listen, guy walked in with this check. I've never seen it before. Can you do me a favor? Either, you know, teach me how to cash such a check, or, you know, can you do it for me? Right? Can you teach me how to cash this check, or can you do it for me? So Rav Gudlevsky said, you know, sometimes a person all day he's dealing with struggles, with the Yetzer Hara, with different desires, and he's cashing them. Okay, you know, he gets the desire of lust for food. He does it. You know. It's a struggle, but he's doing it. And he has, you know, his lust to sleep in the morning. He wants to sleep more than to just wake up for davening. And he deals with it, right? And one day, he gets, like, this desire that he doesn't know what to deal with. So does he give up? He says, no. You go to your boss. He's your boss. You go to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, I just got this taiva, you know, crazy, crazy taiva. I don't know what to do with it. I've never dealt with this kind of taiva before. So can you do me a favor? Can you either deal with it yourself or teach me how to deal with it? Right? And that's really the right way, the right mindset of how to deal with struggles. If it's turning me towards God, then it's not bad. Rav Kook speaks in many other places about the fact that when a person, there's a famous Gemara in Masechet Yuma that speaks about the fact that when a person does tshuva me'ahava, then his averas, not only if he does tshuva me'ahava, not only do they become the zedonos, the averas that he did on purpose, become shogeg, which is, you know, accidental, but they become mitzvahs. And Rav Kook says, how do the averas become mitzvahs? So there's a famous concept called hechsher mitzvah. So we're all going to hopefully help out build a sukkah here, but building a sukkah is not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to be in the sukkah, but it's a hechsher mitzvah. You can't sit in the sukkah without building a sukkah, so when you're building a sukkah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. Right?
Marriage is also hechsher mitzvah, right?
Right. Tzitzis, right? Tzitzis, same thing. Yeah. Tying tzitzis is not a mitzvah. But you can't wear tzitzis if you don't tie tzitzis, right? So also dating, right? As Shlomo said, dating is not a mitzvah, right? But getting married is a mitzvah.
According to some opinions, the
whole sum of getting married, okay? The whole sum, okay? I don't want to get into the details of, you know, which one of the facets is. But the idea is, so Rav Kook said that, take the same concept of hechsher mitzvah. There are certain mitzvahs that you wouldn't be able to do in life if not for the averas that you did, right? We gave that analogy before that, you know, if it wasn't for the girl that texted you at 4 a.m. and really needed to speak to you, that got you out of bed, you couldn't get up at 4 a.m. for slichos, right? And if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, you didn't care what anybody thought and you were going to go do something anyway, even though everybody said, you know, you had peer pressure not to do it because it was bad, now you have the same ability to go against what everybody's saying and do what you believe is right because you already have that, right? So Rav Kook says that at the end of the day, all those quote-unquote negative actions that you've done, once you've done tshuva, which you realize is that you didn't want to do the action, you just want the outcome, right? I'm not interested in the money that I stole. I am interested in the Azus Kedusha, in the audacity that I had to go and steal, and I want to take that audacity to go forward in my life and do good. And all of a sudden, the same way I couldn't sit in a sukkah without building it, I couldn't sit in the Beis Midrash for so many hours, right? If it wasn't for that bad thing that I've done, right? So that thing all of a sudden becomes what allows me to plow forward. So your negative traits, and this is what it is, not to get too Kabbalistic, but chesed is kindness. Chesed is kindness. Kindness has no shape or form. It's just kindness. Din, on the other hand, din, judgment, is exactly shape and form, right? Gevura, the negative attributes that we do usually comes out of din. And the fact that I knew that I was doing something wrong, and I went and did it anyway, created a strong sense of din, created a vessel. Now I can take that vessel and fill it with chesed, right? So Reb Zusha of Annapolis, he's told us, he said, I learned 7 things from a thief, right? He said, the thief puts himself in grave danger, right? The thief takes something small the way he takes something big. The thief has trust that he can do it or else he wouldn't try to steal if he didn't believe in himself, right? Believe in the process. If he doesn't succeed once, he succeeds twice. He tries again, right? He doesn't care what people think about him, right? Because he just has to do what he has to do, right? And he said, and I also learned 3 things from a baby, right? A baby cries till he gets what he wants, right? Baby cries till he gets what he wants, right? A baby is happy unless he's missing something, right? I forget exactly all of them, but this is the idea, is that I can learn from all these attributes. I can learn and take them to the other idea. And this is something very profound. In Hebrew, the word for attribute is what? Mida. What does mida mean in Hebrew?
Measurement.
Right? So you take the attribute of kindness, and the question is, do you have it in the right measure? Because to have too little kindness is not good. It's not in the right measure. To have too much kindness, right? How does the Gemara call a prostitute? Isha shel chesed. A woman of kindness. She's so kind. She's giving everything. She gives her whole body. She gives everything. She has no limit of kindness. That is obviously not good. Right? Givura is the same thing. You have too little givura. You know, Chazal say, I'm mitachzer al achmanim, safo she itachzer lirachmanim. Right? I'm merachem al achzarim, a person who's kind to wicked people, safo she itachzer lirachmanim, he's going to be wicked to kind people. Right? And therefore, you have to have judgment. But you have too much judgment. Right? You can't see a person in a circumstance. You only see the action. Right? Everything in our life is it in measure? Right? Money, is it in measure? Food, is it in measure? Sleep, is it in measure? I have to measure what I have. That's a midah, right? There's a person, right? You're dating a girl. Does she have good midos? What does that mean, right? Does it mean that is she kind? Is she kind? Every person is kind. The question is too much, right? So Rav Kook is telling us that at the end of the day, the Yetzer Hara, of course you don't judge.
You need to judge, just in the right way.
Too true. So Rav Kook says if a person's Yetzer Hara is overpowering him, you know what you need to know? You need to know that this is paving a new road. So instead of becoming all defensive and all negative about the fact that I'm struggling with things that I've never struggled with before, right? And you can imagine Yosef. Yes, he struggled with his brothers, and his older brothers saw him as like, oh, the daughter of the loved one, so they pushed him aside. And the other brothers, like, he didn't know his relationship with them because they're the kids of the concubines. Yet, you know, like, they're the only people that are going to be my friends because Leah's kids are not going to be my friends. Like, and father favors me, so what am I going to do? Like, you know, all of a sudden he has a struggle with Eshet Potiphar. Day after day after day after day after day, right? And there's a famous Torah by Reb Shlomo Karbach that he said that on the one day that Yosef said, you know, was going to give in, Chazal say that he saw an image of his father, right? And there's a lot of perishim. How do you see an image of his father? And there's, you know, the more you know, a gush approaches that you know, he left his house when he was 17. Now he's 30. All of a sudden, he has a beard. He never saw a mirror before. Aisha Potifar obviously had a mirror in her room, you know, so she can look at herself all day. All of a sudden, he saw his reflection. He looked like his dad, right? An older guy with a beard. He said, "Oh my God, it's my dad!" And he ran away. But Reb Shlomo said something beautiful. He said, "You can also understand Radu Kan Aviv. Not that he saw an image of his father, he saw an image of himself as a father." And he said, "How could I ever tell my kids right or wrong if this is what I'm going to do? What kind of a father will I become?" Right? He saw an image of himself as a father. Can I ever tell my kids what is right and what is wrong if I'm going to do this right now? And therefore, his image of himself as a father made him run away. Right? So the fact that we have these struggles, actually building a stronger foundation. So the cook is really telling us, we're going to go to the next piece, he's really telling us that in order to bring every single day into Shemayim, we have to have a struggle that is daily. And that's why we all have our daily struggles. Daily struggles. Things we struggle with daily. And for some person, it's going to be every single day, he's going to struggle with minion. And you're like, "I don't get it. Should I have not hacked it already? Should I have not figured it out?" Or every single day, you're going to struggle with the French fries. Like, you know, like, come on. It's not. Really? I told you, I'm Italian, I have a bet. Who's going to go longer?
Go along with what?
Dad touching the French fries.
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna win.
You didn't tell me?
Yeah, we're on a bet.
How long?
What?
How long since
how long? Oh, it's since the start of the semester. But it's whoever goes longer.
It's like this high five episode.
So there's daily struggles, but that daily struggle allows you to have a daily relationship with God. Right? To daily say, you know, where am I headed? Where am I headed? And the struggles, some days are going to be, you're going to fail. Some days you're going to succeed. But the whole idea is that you're realizing that this is a daily opportunity to connect to God, right? Same way that kid, you know, and the truth is that kid who daven 45 minutes shacharis on a regular day, if he would have done it again the next night, he wouldn't be able to daven 45 minutes the next day, right? It was because it was a one-time thing. But how do we take those daily struggles and harness them? So Rav Kook tells us like this. And we're in a letter Dalet. לפעמים מתגלה הנפש בכל מערמי לפעמים מתגלה הנפש בכל מאורמי כיעורה לאדם והוא מתבעל מהמראה רק בזה מראה הוא את רוחו כי לפי גודל כוחו של היצר הכאור של הנפש ותומתה כה התגבר צר היופי צד היפה שבא בתארתה וכי את זה לעומת זה עשה אלוקים. Rav Kook says, sometimes, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get a mirror image of your soul. And you know what it's going to look like? It's going to look ugly. It's going to look ugly. If you're going to honestly look at your soul, at your desires, it's going to look ugly. Right? There's a famous Piyasechna Torah where he says, if every single person would speak every single thing he thinks, society will collapse. Right? If every single person, I mean, we have one person that says everything he thinks. His name is the president. And we already, our whole political system is collapsing because there's one human being who says everything that comes to mind.
Tweets everything.
Imagine every single person would say everything that comes to mind. Society would collapse. Now, if you start thinking about every single thing you comes to your mind, you might think that you're a horrible person, right? You say, "Oh my God, how am I having these thoughts? How dare I have these thoughts?" And you become so startled, so baffled, so scared, right? Or even more so, you know, we're coming up on Yom Kippur, and we're going to be listing along things that we've done wrong. And you're going to, at a certain point, you're going to be like, "Wait, but I'm not genuinely saying I'm sorry for these. You know, I'm going to find myself doing this again in a couple of months." And you'd be like, "I must be a horrible person," right? How many times have I told myself this is never going to happen again? And it happens again? I'm a horrible person. A lot of people come around Yom Kippur filled with guilt about what a horrible person they are and how they're so two-faced and they're just liars. And, you know, and Rav Kook says, if you have that image all of a sudden of your soul and you feel that it's so ugly, right? You know, it's full of stains, it's full of ugliness. Right, there's a famous Zohar that says that the Gemara says that every time you do a mitzvah, you create a soul. And the Zohar says, but how you do that, sorry, every time you do a mitzvah, you create an angel. But how you do that mitzvah is how the angel is going to be. And the Zohar says you're going to get up to Shemayim and you're going to see angels without hands and angels without feet and angels without eyes, because all you did those mitzvahs. That's true, but you weren't fully invested. And part of your tshuva is going to be fixing those angels that you've created. You've done it. You've created these angels, but you haven't done it well. So Rav Kook says, if you get a glimpse of your soul and it seems so warped, and you're startled by your soul, when you're honest with yourself, when you look at yourself in the mirror of a soul, and you see that your soul is not what you want it to be, you can calm yourself by saying, before I explain that, I'm going to give an analogy. So the analogy that I heard once from one of my rebbeim, he said a beautiful thing. He said, imagine a poker game. You're playing a poker game with the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara, you know, cheats. He's a cheater. He has any card he wants up his sleeve. He also can see your cards, right? And all of a sudden, the Yetzer Hara puts down three aces. You get really startled. Three aces? That is a lot. But if the Yetzer Hara had to put down three aces to beat you, that means you're holding something pretty good, right? So you might lose this round because he cheated. But you know that you're holding a good hand because he saw it. He also saw the cards that are going to come out next. He saw what's going to be dealt later. So the Yetzer Hara said, the Rav Kook says, when you look at your soul and you see all the negativity, know that God promised, and God's word is a word of truth, that everything comes in an equilibrium. And therefore, all that ugliness that you're seeing in your soul exists a parallel beauty that you're just not capable of seeing right now. Right? Any beauty that you're, anything that you're able to see, there's another half. And remember, that's what we spoke about, the midah. The ability to take everything that's working and just find the right measure. So if you're looking at your soul and it's not genuine, when it says it's sorry, find the right midah. Right? Rabbi Nachman says, even if all you can say in a genuine way is Ana Hashem Oshiana, right? Say that. And Rabbi Nachman writes, even if the only thing you can say truthfully is I'm not genuine, say that. Right? Because by saying something genuine, you're opening up the door to genuine words coming out, to truth. So if Cook says sometimes you're going to start looking and doing introspection, you're going to start looking inside, and you're only going to see bad. And that's fine. Rabbi Nachman gives a beautiful analogy. And he says, imagine you have a pot of water, right? So back in the day, they didn't have running water. So you go fill up water from the river, right? And it's sitting in a pot. And with time, all the dirt sinks to the bottom. And you're looking at the pot and the water looks clean. It's like, I got clean water. You put it on the fire. What's going to happen when the reaches a rolling boil? All the dirt that was on the bottom that you didn't see before is now coming to the top. Oh my God, the water's dirty. I thought it was clean. It's dirty. Right? You think all day that you're good. You're good. Pretty much. You know, yeah, I'm not perfect, but I know. I do good. I do bad. I'm a good guy. Girl. And then all of a sudden the days of awe come. Fire. Fire. All of a sudden everything boils up from the bottom. So in the first stanza, the first minute, you can look at all the dirt that's coming up on the top of the pot and be very startled. Or you can say, oh, this is a good thing. You know why? Because all I have to do is take a sifter and just comb the top of the water and take out all the dirt. I'll do this 1, 2, 3 times and all the dirt will be gone and I'll actually have clean water. Rav Kook says, Rav Nachman says that when you come close to the tzaddik, when you come close to the days of awe, and at the end of the day, all the bad that's within you is starting to come up, and you looking genuinely at yourself, and you're seeing all this bad, in the first moment, you're going to get startled. But if you're genuine, you know what's going to happen? You're going to say, okay, all this bad comes, but at least now I know of it. Till now, I was in denial that I had these problems. Right? When you were in your gap year in yeshiva, How many problems did you have, you know, besides spending too much of your parents' money, right? Or besides, you know, hanging out at crazy hours or going to somebody's, you know, apartment that they have in Jerusalem and maybe drinking a little too much on a Shabbaton and telling yourself it was okay. You come to Maryland, it's mamish fire, right? Fire of Gehenna. And all of a sudden, all your bad attributes are coming out. So you can buy into the narrative and say, well, I'm a bad person. Or you could remind yourself that, you know what? This is only dirt. It's not part of the water. And I'm just going to clean it out. Rav Kook says, ואחרי אשר יתגבר ויתרומם על החזון הבלהות של צד החיור, וזרח לעיניו הצד הטהור, צד היופי שבנפש, ועיניו ייראו וינהרו, ויתנחם על כל חזון הפלצות אשר בעתותיו. Says it, but after you, you know, if you're looking at that mirror image of your soul and you're seeing something you don't like, for the first moment, you're startled. But then, you have to realize that there's something better, right? There's something stronger. And that is that potential that exists. Because if you have negative traits, you have positive traits. There's always going to be an equilibrium, right? So in the first glance, you get really scared. You say, I'm not a good person. I'm not doing good stuff, right? My soul is ugly. I'm full of blemish. I'm full of sin. I'm full of stains. And you look at your soul and you only see bad. When you're able to overcome that beginning, that first startle, right? That first moment. Then, says Rav Kook, he quotes a pasuk, Vayosfu anavim v'ashem simcha v'evyonei adam b'kodesh Yisrael yagilu. You realize that, you know what? This is just part of a bigger picture. Yes, I have sin. Yes, I'm not perfect. Maybe before I started looking inside, I had an illusion that I was pretty much okay, right? But unless you're Allen Iverson, practice is a good thing. And you're happy when the team that is playing against you in practice is giving it their all, right? Because if you're now going and playing practice and everybody's letting you, you know, it's the All-Star game, nobody's playing defense, then yes, you scored 40 points in the All-Star game, but nobody gives a damn because it's an All-Star game. You know, it's literally 196 to 174, okay? But now you amend the All-Star game and you have team captains and the team, both two people that are driven most to win, and you're playing against each other and everybody's, you know, pumped to beat the other team. Yeah. Okay? So you could beat teams like the Knicks that no matter how much they have at halftime, they're always going to lose. And you could beat teams like the Patriots that if they're winning at halftime, they're like, oh my God, what's going on? What did we do wrong? Right? It's only when they go to the locker room and they're like, you know, losing by a lot. And then, you know, you have Tom Brady saying, you know, if they scored 30 points against us in a half, then we can score more against them in a half, right? So if the Yetzer Hara was able, had so much, so there's so much power in my actions, in my words, to do such thing, right? So I remember I had a summer job, my junior year of high school. I worked at a guy, he had a watch, he had a store, he sold watches and jewelries, and I worked at a store in Malchamal. And I sold watches, and I got commission. And then after my summer job, he said, why don't you come work for me full time? Forget commission, I'll pay you a good salary. And I said, why? He said, well, somebody walks into my store, he leaves with a watch. Somebody walks into your store, he leaves with two. So I said, really, I'm that good? He goes, I've seen you work, you're that good. I said, good, so let me go teach Torah. That was the moment I decided I'm going to go to yeshiva. I said, what if I'm that good of a salesman, you know? The one thing that nobody wants to buy anymore is Torah. Because everybody's been selling it. It's been such a crappy job at selling it, you know? So salesman is all you buy everything that nobody wants to buy. You repackage it. You rebrand it. And you sell it back to the company you bought it for a lot more money, right? And that's the Jewish thing to do, right? You're literally buying plastic from factories that have too much plastic waste. And then you restructure, you sell it back to them. You're literally buying styrofoam from companies that you can't put styrofoam in the garbage against the law. You can't recycle it, right? So you buy styrofoam from the companies, ship it to China. China puts it in their machinery, remodels it back to the size that they needed, and you sell it back to that company for double the amount of you bought from it, right? Like, that's a Jewish thing. That's what we do, Jews. We take garbage, repurpose it, and we sell it back to you. It's not slimy, because that's our thing. But that's our thing in the world. That's what we do in the world. We take things that people think are useless, and then we show them the beauty in it. And then we take money, which is a different problem. But in Achinami, that's our job, right? Is to take, right? So if I could sell a person two watches, then let me take the thing that's the most valuable thing in the world, right? Tovli Torah Picha Malfeza Vachesef. But you say that to somebody, and they say, "Oh, Simchas Torah." You know, they know we sing it as Simchas Torah. They don't really believe it. How do I come to a place where I can, you know, resell the Torah, repackage it? College Park. Mamish College Park, right? You know, my daughter still thinks we live in a park, right? We live in College Park. You know, she thinks that we have a slide and a swing.
Other sorts of
She's not wrong. Activities. She's not wrong, right? She's not wrong. We do live in a park, right? So Rav Kook, and just to end this idea, Rav Kook is telling us that at the end of the day, if you really believe, and there's a statement by Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said a statement. He said, "Im ata ma'amin she'yocholim lekalkel, ta'amin she'yocholim letaken." If you believe that you can destroy, believe that you can fix. Anything that has been broken can be repaired. Right?
Nissan
Black Song. Right? So that's the emes. So if you're looking at your soul and you're saying, "Wow, look what I've done to my soul. Look how I've driven it down into the mud. Look how I got it all so dirty." So you know you should tell yourself, if that force exists, we know Newton's law of physics is what? Any force that is applied on an object, the object will apply
equal and opposite
force on it. Right? So if I apply this negative force on my soul, that means that my soul is applying the opposite force. And all I have to do is take that force with it, right? So when you learn Krav Maga, somebody who's 200 pounds charging at you with a knife, you can stand firm and try to stop him and take all the impact of the 2,000 kilos or 2,000 pounds, 200 pounds. Or what you can do, you can say, "Oh, let me help you. You're charging at me? Come. Take his weight, right? Continue his force, and then just shift his body weight. Put your foot in front of his foot, and then send him going. Right? Instead of taking that force and trying to stop it, continue it. So Rav Kook's saying is, if you see the ugliness in your soul, if you see all the averas that you've done, if you've seen all the negativity that you've applied on your soul, understand that your soul is applying the same exact force the other way. And therefore, the minute you remove the stumbling blocks, you're going to rocket sky high. And that's what Rav Kook says, "V'yosifu anavim b'ashem simcha." The anavim, the modest people, the people who look at their soul and say, "Wow, there's so much more to go." Add joy to God. "V'evyonei adam b'kadosh Yisrael yagilu." And the people who feel that they're poor in their actions, they don't have a lot, they will connect to all of the great people of Am Yisrael. Why? Because at the end of the day, your soul has all the power to get up from that. As Rav Kook has been telling us all along, your soul is a spring. And when you apply a pile of averas, and more averas, and more averas, and more averas, you know what you're creating? A very dense spring. You know what all you have to do right now in order to go as high as you can possibly go? Just remove those things. But if you don't believe that your soul is a spring that's so condensed right now, you say, "What's going to help me removing all these things? My soul's crushed." No, it's not crushed like a rock. It's compressed. Because we know laws of physics, spiritual physics. And the minute you remove those things, the minute you start removing, all you have to remove is enough for the spring to actually do the rest. And that is send all those stuff flying. So we should understand that all our struggles, all our shortcomings, are just pushing down on a spring. And all we have to do is remove those things. And only will we go back straight up to where we were before. But we will go higher, because all those, that force pressing down, is telling my soul, you can go even higher. All those things become a hechsher mitzvah. That weight that compressed the spring is what allowed my spring to really reach the heights that I wanted to. Shkayach. Shkayach.